Well, praise God. Do you have your Bible with you this morning? If you don't, we have some Bibles if you need a Bible, because we use our Bible here. So praise the Lord. Let's turn to Isaiah 55. We've got lots of scripture here today, and we're starting in Isaiah 55, and we're going to start with verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, my ways. I want to read that right. Nor are your ways my ways, say the Lord. All right. I always get that backwards, and I don't want to do that. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth a bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or without fruit, but it will accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Praise God. So this is a lot of scripture and a lot of different things that, because what we tend to do is we tend to pull all of these scriptures out for different little things that we want to talk about. You know, we'll say God's word does not return void, and we use that. And we use the one, he sends his word as seed to the sower and bread to the eater. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And we pull all that. But there's a continuity to what God is saying here to us. He says, let the wicked forsake his way. He's saying, let the wicked. He didn't say, make the wicked. He said, let the wicked. It's a choice that you make. You have to want to forsake your wickedness. You know, God does not make us do anything. You know, a lot of times God gets blamed for a lot of things that he just does not do. But he said, let the wicked choose to forsake their ways. See, you have got to make a choice on your own to forsake wickedness. And when you say, I can't help it, or the devil made me do it, you are deceiving yourself. You have got to forsake sin on your own choice. God is all about choices. In Deuteronomy, he tells us, choose this day whom you will serve. He's all about choices. He says, let the wicked forsake. He says, let the wicked let loose and relinquish his ways. His course of life is what he's talking about here. When he says his way, it's the course of life. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts, let him return to the Lord. And he, God, will have mercy on him. You know, this is a wonderful thing. Mercy is a, you know, I always, whenever I hear this word mercy, or the word mercy, I always think about that little thing that your brother or your sister does to you, and they get you down and they twist your arm behind your back until you yell, mercy, mercy, you know. And mercy here is refraining from harm or punishing offenders. Kindness in excess of what may be expected. So, you know, you're kind of expecting your arm to get broken, but if you cry mercy, mercy, they'll let go. You know, it's kind of unexpected. You're hoping that they're not going to break your arm. But God is full of mercy. And he wants you to let go of your sin so that his mercy can come in. He wants to be compassionate and kind. God desires to be those things to every person. Now, don't get me wrong. God loves everyone. God is love. And he loves every person, everyone. But you have to choose to walk in that favor and in that blessing. You have to choose to forsake your sin and walk in mercy. It's abundant and it's free and it's ready, but you have to choose it. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter 2, Peter says, once you were not a people, but now the people of God. those who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy or have been granted mercy. God has granted us mercy, but we have to receive that mercy. Too many times we choose to punish ourselves, work out our sin, try to work it off, try to pay for the things that we've done wrong. But God says all you have to do is to walk out of that sin, walk out of that, and let his mercy, his abundant love and compassion, you know, that knowing that you may have deserved the punishment, but he shows kindness in excess to us. Isn't God good? Isn't God good that he shows us kindness in excess, even though we are wrong? And he says here in 1 Peter, you know, we didn't deserve it, but he gave it to us. You know, we once were far from God. We were all sinners going to hell. But now, if you've received Jesus, don't put yourself in that. Don't be that. Don't allow that the devil to tell you that you are not saved. Do not let the devil tell you that you have not become a child of God. He said, even though at one time you may not have been a child of God, you are now a child of God. And he says, there's a time when you didn't have mercy. I couldn't pour out my mercy, but now I can pour out my mercy to you. Let's look at Psalms 106. Psalms 106:1, it says, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy forever. Now, there's a little italicized word in there. It says it endures forever. But here, read it this way. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy forever. Concentrate on that for just a minute. Let that penetrate into you. His mercy is for it just because when we put endures, we think that it may fade, it wane at times, or there might be a place where it will run out. But it doesn't say that. It says his mercy forever. Forever. God's mercy is there. Forever. God's mercy is for us. And Psalms 86:5. It says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. He is abundant in mercy. Isn't it good to know that there's abundance of mercy? I mean, you know, he might just kind of pour it all out on Debbie over here and then there's not enough left for me, you know, and he's got abundant mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he says in back in 55, it says, and he will abundantly pardon. This is so wonderful that God will abundantly pardon us for our sin. Abundantly here means not just enough to cover your sin, but abundant. It's like your sin is this big, well, his abundant pardon's that big. It's more than enough to cover, you know. It's abundant. His pardon is abundant. And pardon's not a word what we use a lot in the church. It's, you know, we talk about mercy and we talk about grace, but we don't talk too much about pardon, you know. And pardon is to be released from further punishment for a crime. You have been released from further punishment of a crime. In other words, there's nothing that you can do to be saved or delivered. Jesus has done it all. He has abundantly done it all. And there is no work and no process that you can go through to be more saved, more delivered, more healed, whatever you want it to be. Jesus has done it all. You know, he has abundantly pardoned us, released us. You know, it's like at the end of each term of the presidency, he is allowed, or it's sort of a custom, not allowed, that's the wrong word. He has a custom in the presidency where they pardon somebody from their, not sin, but their crime that they've done. Well, when they pardon that person, their record is completely expunged. There is nothing left to show that you ever committed that crime. He pardons these people. Doesn't matter what they did, he pardons them. Well, think how much more the goodness of God, how great God is, that he will abundantly pardon you, more than any man could ever pardon. Because there's still people who remember. God doesn't remember. He doesn't remember that sin. He pardons you from it. So why would God pardon us? One reason why God would pardon us is because he loves us. And we talk about how we love God. You know, we talk about how we love God. But think about this. I'm all into this thinking thing here in the last few months. About a year now. And I always tell everybody at Bible study, now go a little deeper, you know, think a little deeper on this. Think about this. We love God, and that's where most of us come from in our spiritual walk, is how we love God. But I want you to think about this. Think about how much God loves you. God loves you. The creator of the universe loves you. He loves me. He loves us all. Now think of, you know, just meditate on that, from chew that up and swallow that and bring it back up and chew a little bit more about how much God loves you. He loves you so very, very much. That's why he pardons us. He loves us. That's why he pours out his mercy. He loves us. He loves us. The second reason God would pardon us is because he wants to have fellowship with us. And then whenever we focus on our sin, we refuse the forgiveness of God. And that separates us from God. God's whole purpose for mankind was fellowship. It wasn't to have people worship him. It was fellowship. He put Adam and Eve in the garden for fellowship, so he could have somebody to talk to and to be with and relate to, because he loved them. You know, and you say, well, Roxanne, they were there to worship. Well, worship comes out of a love. Worship will come out of a love. As you begin to love God, you will worship him because you will recognize who he is. But he wants fellowship with us. And when we're constantly reminding ourselves of our terrible sin and the terrible things that we've done, and the devil constantly brings up to you all the sin that you have committed and all the things that you've done wrong and that you'll never, ever get it right, you can look him in the eye and you can say, I have God's mercy and abundant pardon. I'm sorry. You're out of here. You're done. You know, somebody said this morning that the devil's number is up. And I thought, well, his number's always been zero anyway, so who cares? You know? But you can remind him. Don't, because, you know, the devil doesn't care if you get saved. He could care less if you get saved. As long as you don't have fellowship with God. That's what he likes. He likes keeping you separated from God. But we got to remember that grace and abundant pardon. Now back in Isaiah 55:8, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as heaven is higher than earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, we see that, we pull this scripture out and we think, God thinks so much higher than we think. And that's true. He does think higher than we think. That's because we have allowed ourselves to lower ourselves down, down, down. The world has dumbed us down to where we don't think like God anymore. They say we use about 10% of our brain. You know, and that's a shame. Just think about what we could be thinking if we used 50%. Woo, praise the Lord. But, you know, he says, your thoughts are not, he knew what state we were going to continue to spiral in. He knew that. And he says, but my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways. And sometimes we take that and we say, I'll never be able to think like God. I'll never be able to do the things that God wants done. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie. Because we can think the thoughts of God. And we can do the things that God wants us to do. But it takes a little bit of practice, and it takes a little bit of study, and it takes a little bit of effort on our part. God does not by osmosis just put this in your head. Oh, yay. You know, I got it all now. You know, it don't happen that way. Oh, I wish it did, but it doesn't. But we got to put some effort in it and study His Word and know Him and have that fellowship with God. That's how we get to know God. That's how we get to know His way. That's how we get to know His thoughts. He's made His thoughts and His ways very, very, very clear here. But let's keep this in context with what we're talking about here. God's pardoning of our sin is what He's talking about here in the previous verses. God's thoughts about our sin is not our thoughts about sin. You know, God says, I don't think about sin. Why are you thinking about sin? You know, don't allow that in your thought pattern. We get stuck in there. You know how you get that? I was telling them last Sunday, and it's still in there, and I still got to keep pushing it. There's a song I heard last Saturday, not this past Saturday, but two Saturdays ago. I heard this song at this little festival we was at, and I don't like this song. It's a secular song, and it just, oh, it goes around in my head. I'll wake up in the morning, sometimes I'll be singing, and it's like, no, 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 no. So I've been, you know, every time that song comes in my thought pattern, I'll just say no. And I start singing, you know, Jesus loves me or something even real simple, just like Jesus loves me this I know, you know, just to get it out of my head. But you know, sin's like that. Sin will get in our head. Sin will get in your head. The devil will get in there and he'll say, you keep doing that over and over. You'll never change. But God said, my thought about that is not that. That's not my thought about sin. My thought is, you can change. I've made a way. I've pardoned you. There is a way. Stop thinking about sin. Start thinking about the goodness of God. It's like a glass with dirty water in it. If that glass is dirty water and you never put anything in there, that dirty water will always be in there. But if you'll take the good, clean water of God's Word and keep putting it in there, eventually all that dirt will come out. It'll flow out over the edges, and eventually you'll have clean water. Because that's putting God's thoughts into there. That's putting God's way into you, into your thought pattern, into your life, so that He can change who you are. And believe me, we all need change. I've been at this for a long time. I still need change in my life. I need to change some things. I need to get that song out of my head. No, no more, no more. So, you know, but those are the things that we, you know, you need, you've got to constantly, it's like a stale pool of water. If you never put anything fresh in that pool, it will stay stale. It will be stale. And that's the way with our lives. If we don't put anything new or anything fresh in our lives, we will become stale. We got to put the fresh and the new in all of the time. Turn to Psalm 94 with me. Not Psalm 94. He says here, it's Psalm 94, verse 11 says, the Lord knows the thoughts of man. They are futile, and indeed they are. They are futile. So, we have to think about what are God's thoughts about us? What are God's thoughts about you? In Deuteronomy, God says, you are the head, not the tail. That's a good place. You are the head, not the, you are above only. This is, I've always heard that script. I am the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. It says, you are the head, not the tail. You are above only, not beneath. Isn't that cool? Isn't that a neat scripture? That's what God's thoughts are about us. You're above, only above. You're not part of the way up. 3/4 of the way. You're above. Only, only, only. Not beneath. You are seated in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 2:6. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's where we got to see ourselves. These are the thoughts that we need to have. You know, when we think the things that God thinks, we won't think the things of the world. And when the thoughts of the world comes in, you got just like that glass of dirty water, we got to put in clean to get that out. We got to put good. We can't just say, no, I'm not going to think about that anymore. That doesn't work. I don't know if you've ever tried that. That's that way with this song. It's just like, I am not going to think about this song anymore. And the next thing you know, I'm humming this little hymn. Everyone, wasn't a hymn. Ugh. If it was a hymn, that'd been good. But you got to put the good in. You got to, you know, to get that bad song out, I had to put a good song in. And every time, put a good song in. And then yesterday I heard another song and I thought, no, I'm not going to be singing that one either. You know, I'm going to put them good songs in. Put the good songs, because I'm seated above this stuff. I'm seated above with Christ Jesus. I'm seated with Him, and He is there with me, and He's helping me. He's showing me. He's showing you. You are seated with Him. And when you're seated with Him, you can't go wrong. You can't. You're seated with Him. You are God's beloved children, according to 1 John 3. Hallelujah. We are God's beloved children. We're not just His children. We're His beloved children. We are chosen, according to 1 Peter 2:9. Remember we read that a little while ago about, you know, you've obtained mercy. He says, you are a chosen generation. You are chosen. You're not, you just didn't choose Him. He chose you. He chose you. That's just like the love of God. He loves you and He chose you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even when I was sinful and dirty and nasty and ugly and terrible, He loved me and He chose me. He chose you. He chose you. And that's when we get to thinking them things that we'll never change and things. He chose me. He chose me. And there's nothing you can do, devil. He chose me and I am His. God's thoughts towards us is peace, a future, and a hope, according to Jeremiah 29:11. He has peace for us. He has a future for us. And He has hope for us, if we'll reach out and take hold of it. Let's read Psalms 103. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. David understood, this is a psalm of David, and David understood the mercy and the pardon of God. If there ever was someone in the scripture who knew the mercy and pardon of God, it was David. I mean, he knew how much God loved him. Yes, he did some wrong things. We always think about he killed the giant and he became the king. But you know, in the midst of all of that happening, he did some pretty crazy things. In fact, he acted like he was crazy one time just to get away from his enemies. You know, but he knew the mercy and the pardon of God. He knew what God thought about him. The way God thinks about pardon and mercy is higher than what we can think about pardon and mercy unless we change the way we think. Too often, we talk about our sin. We bemoan our sinfulness. And sometimes we even think about the good old days. They were not good old days. They were the pathway of hell. We got to think about the pathway to heaven. We got to think about the goodness of God. Amen. And then back in 55, verse 10, it says, so as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Here again, not pulling this out of context, and I'm not saying that when we use these scriptures, they're out of context, but let's keep it in context of what we're talking about for the pardon. It's not that the word of pardon comes down to us. It's that the word of pardon comes down to produce something in us. You know, it comes down to produce something good in us. So why does God pardon us? And he wants us to produce something. He wants to produce something in us. He sent forth his word. You know, it says here that just as my word came down for sin and pardon, it came and it doesn't return to me without fruit, but it produces seed for you and bread for you. And he makes a way for us that we can walk in the fruitfulness of God concerning our sin, concerning our pardon, let's say, rather than our sin. But as long as we focus on our sin, we don't focus on God. God's mercy and pardon will produce in us a seed for sowing and a bread for eating. And let me tell you, it is a wonderful thing when you realize that God is so good and that you have a seed for others, that you have a seed that can be planted and it will produce in them. But if God's word is not producing in you, it cannot produce in other people. It has to be producing in you. We say, well, you know, even a donkey can speak a word and people can. That is such a rare. It only happened once in the scripture. And yes, once, you know, out of the mouths of babes. Yes, but the babes were used by the Spirit of God. But if the seed is not in you, you cannot give seed to other people. If the bread is not in you, you cannot give bread out. When you're starving, you don't feed other people. Amen? Amen. So he gives us a seed, he gives us bread, and it's to produce something in us so that we can share with other people. God tells us that this comes from his mouth, not yours. I love this. When I read this, it says, my word comes from my mouth. God's word is never empty. God's word is never without fruit. God's word accomplishes what he pleases. What he pleases. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 6, let's look at that. Hebrews 6, verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by anyone greater, he swore by himself. Sometimes our word is not good. You know, sometimes our word is not what it should be. But God says, when he sends his word of pardon and mercy, of healing or salvation, he sends it to produce, and it will produce in you if you will let it. Here again, it's a choice of you allowing the word to produce in you. It's out of God's mouth. You know, it's God's word that produces. It's not just a good word. You know, many years ago, there was a man here, and he was a good man and an evangelist. But he thought, and this is evangelist speak. If he spoke to somebody in the grocery line and said, good morning, how are you? He felt that he was giving them a word of God. that they would come to the Lord because he was just pleasant with them and happy. And you know, and that softens a hard person, but you've got to have more than just good morning, how are you, hope you're having a good day, or God bless you. Sometimes God bless you is just a little bit further, and that's good. But you got to have more than that. You got to have more seed in you. You've got to have more bread to give to people than just being a pleasant person. And God bless him. And he would say, oh, yes, I evangelized today over at the market because I talked to these ladies in the grocery line, and we found out he was just saying good morning and God bless you. And it was just like, oh dear, you know, you need more than that. You got to have more than that, because when God's word, his word goes out, and that's not God bless you, good morning. When his word goes out, it will produce. And verse 12, let's look at verse 12. He says, "And so you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." God will lead you out of what your situation is and what situation you are in. God will lead you out if you will take him by the hand. He will lead you out. He will lead you out with joy and with peace. And when you're born again, and I'm hoping that everybody here today is born again. If you're not, think about this and think about changing your life today. I'm going to invite you in a little bit to come forward to receive Jesus as your Savior if you're not born again today. But I can tell you from experience, there is no greater peace and no greater joy than knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord. None. The world could never, never, ever satisfy that place in me that Jesus satisfied. And it gave me a peace and a joy that passes understanding. I mean, you cannot explain peace and joy in the Holy Ghost to people who don't know Jesus. They just don't get it. And sometimes they think you're a little strange. Well, sometimes they think you're a lot strange, but that's okay. But there's a peace and a joy in you when you receive Jesus, when you let him lead you out, when you allow him to let you, to lead you from the thought pattern that you have been in of sin and destruction, when you allow him to lead you out and recognize his mercy and his pardon in your life, there is no greater peace, no greater joy than to know that you're saved, that you're pardoned, that you have God's mercy. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. Let's look at Romans 14. Yes, we can clap right there, that's good. You're all not used to that, are you? Romans 14, verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." You know, this particular scripture kind of wraps up everything Isaiah 55 has to say. The kingdom of God is righteousness, which is a pardon from God. Righteousness is being pardoned from God. The kingdom of God, by the way, is where you live. Once you're saved, you live in the kingdom. It's not some place that we're going to in the by and by, or, you know, when you pass over or whatever you call that, you expire. You live in the kingdom right now. When you got born again, the kingdom of God came into you. So you live in the kingdom of God. And his righteousness is that pardon of God. That righteousness is that unmerited favor, what we talk about. Remember pardon? We talked about pardon. And it's not getting the punishment that you deserve. That's righteousness. That's the righteousness of God. And, you know, and if we will grab a hold of righteousness, that you are the righteousness of, it is not something you earn. It is who you are. You can never earn. You are not good enough and never could be good enough to earn righteousness. It's a gift of God, just like salvation. Just like salvation. You can't come to church. You can't pray. You can't come to Sunday school and do all the witnessing in the world enough to be righteous. There isn't a measure. I mean, you know, if you say, well, I think righteousness is this much. Well, how about if God says it's that much? Whoops, you missed it. You know, righteousness is a gift, a free gift. He just gives it to you. Why? Because he loves you. He gives you because he wants that right standing with you. He wants you, he's right with you. He wants you to be right with him. Amen? And so he gives you that righteousness. He pardons you So praise God. And peace is that satisfaction of God. Oh my, there's such a satisfaction in knowing God. And joy in the Holy Ghost. Now when I looked this word up, it said cheerfulness, exceeding joy, and calm delight. So that ought to fit everybody in this room. Amen? Everybody. Because sometimes we're just cheerful, and some of you are exceedingly joyful. And some of you just have calm delight. So it kind of covers everybody. So we have that joy in the Holy Ghost. And so what's our scripture that Gordon has been preaching to us out of Corinthians? Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And that's what there's another scripture just wraps this whole thing up. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. Always. He doesn't lead you down the path of destruction. He doesn't lead you in the path of sickness and disease to teach you something. He doesn't leave you in trouble. He always leads you in triumph. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. Praise you, Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've never asked him to come into your heart and be born again. We're talking about being born again. If you've never done that, I encourage you today. I'm just going to ask for you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to do any of that kind of stuff. If you've never been born again, I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to ask you to make that decision, first of all, that you want Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord. It's important. It's important for life. It'll be the greatest thing that you ever did. So if you've never been saved, I want you to come forward. And as we pray this morning, if there's anyone here today that needs prayer for anything, if you need healing in your body, just whatever God can do to touch you, if you need prayer this morning, I'm just going to ask you to come forward and I'll pray for you. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you have abundantly pardoned us, that you have wiped away our sin. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that you have delivered us and saved us and healed us, that you are so wonderful, that you love us so much, God, that you would not leave us in darkness and death and destruction, but you delivered us from the pit of hell. You delivered us and drew us out of darkness and brought us into light. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you for your work in us. We thank you that you are teaching us and growing us and helping us to be the people that you want us to be. We recognize your gift of righteousness, your gift of pardon, that we would not be separated from you. And Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving for it also. Father, we again lift up Debbie and Gordon to you this morning. We give you praise and thanksgiving for this opportunity we have in Haiti to preach the gospel. We give you praise, we give you worship this morning, and we do it all in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. To you be the glory, God.